This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Jenny hit Austin.
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. From beautiful Trinidad World Recording Studios, my beautiful studio here in Fort Worth, Texas, where creativity is king. Where you can call me, 817-733-5256, to come record here. Or, of course, as always, to book Phil Pritchett and the full band. Or just me, Phil, for your private party, whenever and wherever that may be. We stand at the ready. Rest assured. Happy New Year, fans. Happy New Year, everybody. Can you believe we're going into the third year of the podcast? Third year of the podcast. So many incarnations. A lot of you remember, of course, my good friend Kurt South. I started doing this podcast with him, a little over 2 years ago, started doing the show, talking about our struggles, our triumphs as, independent musicians making a living, playing music, banging around, playing bars, private parties, etc. Oh, and some of you would maybe correctly say the podcast hasn't been the same since he moved unceremoniously to Virginia. You're probably right. Oh, I miss South's. Kurt's, he had just a dark, funny, didactic way of talking about his life, talking about his music, that was always hilarious. But what are you going to do? He's moved to Virginia. He's doing very well out there. We do keep in touch. So what am I to do? Phil, your old friend P2 here. How you doing? Soldiering on in any fashion I can. For you, the fan. Well, I've gotten your emails, and I've gotten your donations. Thank you so much to everybody out there. We did it a little while back with a little fanfare or attention. I always feel funny about these kinds of things, but we did put a PayPal, call it what you want, a tip jar, something like that, on the P2 Podcast website, p2podcast.com. Where, if the spirit moves you, you can send me a dollar, send me $5,000. No donation too big or small. It all helps the podcast to keep rolling. Of course, we are fan-supported, commercial-free. I had one guy downloaded all of my albums off the P2 Tunes site and wrote me a note saying, I already have all this, but I wanted to... I do listen to the podcast and have for a long time. I just wanted to send you a little bit of cash, Phil, for all the information and enjoyment you've given me. It made me feel great. But I didn't want him downloading all that stuff, so that was the only way he could send me, $40 or something. He knows who he is out there. Thank you very much, sir. So he made it easy. There's just a little button there that says donate if you feel like it. Do so. Don't be shocked when you get a grateful and thankful email from me, sitting here at my desk as the email comes across. that one of you sent me a few bucks. Thanks, man. Thank you, my dear. Thanks for listening. So check that out if you feel you must. Fan-supported, all the time, commercial-free. Well, man, I'm looking so forward to 2012. I've got about 50 different projects going on. And, hey, I am going to address this. I've gotten some concerned posts on Facebook, emails. How come we're not playing as much? We're not going to some markets we went to for a long time. Hey, if you've been listening to this show, you're up to tune. You're up to speed on what's going on. man, I've got a lot of production stuff here. And yeah, we are not playing as many shows. Gosh, for 15 whatever years it's been, we've played 80 to 120 or 130, 40 shows a year. And man, going forward, I got to tell you, just to clue you in on what's up, that just might not be the case moving forward. We do our festivals, tons of private parties. And man, so that's the best way to see us. If you're just like, man, we haven't had a full band fix in a while, man, and you're waiting for us to roll into some far-flung Texas town where we maybe played 3 or 4 years ago, I've got a lot of work here at the studio, etc. And man, I love to play though. But so email us and just say, Phil, we're out here on the ranch or in the living room, wherever. Please come play. And man, we'll work something out. I'll send you a one-page contract. You sign it, very easy, and we'll show up and play. Even if I got to throw a few speakers in the car and a mic set up in the backyard, we do it all the time. So that is true. You might not see us at as many bars and clubs playing at midnight. You know, let's face it, we're all getting a bit older, and I don't know, man. It's hard to get out and do that kind of stuff with the kind of work we got going on here. Well, speaking of work, man, I've been officially signed on for the Old Man Football Project, the movie about the Carroll Tigers that I've been talking about, the 40-year-old guys who play a full pads, full contact football game with their 20-year-old alumni counterparts. It's a compelling film. I've seen it. It's a full-length thing, you know, a two-hour movie or so. And there definitely will be premieres in Dallas and maybe other cities, maybe Corpus and other parts around Texas. And, you know, the guys doing it are friends of mine. They're great people. And I have been, man, brought on in every sense of the term to be the musical director of it. I've just had a blast hanging out with these guys. My old friend Jay Ellis and Luke Coffey produced this and directed this film. It's all about Texas and football and stuff like that. It's just been a great deal of fun. So, man, I'm spending my days... What are you doing, Phil? What are you doing all day? Man, I'm in here just creating theme music, background music. Of course, we're going to try to get together an official soundtrack for the Old Man Football motion picture. Music is done by Phil Pritchett. So who knows, man? Just all sorts of crazy stuff going on. Also, I've mixed this live in Corpus Christi deal. It's pretty much done. We're just going to run it in chronological order. That's going to be coming out here soon as well. So you have a lot of new stuff to chew on out there. And plus, as always, the new Phil Pritchett and the Full Band album lurking out there. I'll have to see what I end up using for this motion picture deal. I've got so much music, you know, I don't know whether to throw it all on this. You know, you got to have stuff that fits for the film, and then some other things might work its way onto the new album. God grief. It's so confusing now, man. Used to be, man, just come up with a good 10 songs this year. You know, these albums, you got about a day. You got about a day, right? I mean, we put out the Rodney Parker deal, and that day, you know, me and Rodney Parker got together, of course, 5 songs, REM tribute, had a contest. Thanks to all of you who entered the contest. Cameron Gott down there in Bryan College Station won. He made the album cover. It comes out. It's on Facebook. It's on iTunes. I get a lot of feedback. Boom, this is great, 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 great. And I'm telling you, it lasts about 24 hours or 48 hours. And then it's just, that's it. And it's just yesterday's news. So I don't know. It's out there to be discovered, roaming in cyberspace. So check that out as well. So anyway, rather than waiting all year to put out one 10-song record, the way I'm kind of going about this deal for the new year and beyond is just to release lots of different music, lots of different kinds of projects, EP tribute things, live album in Corpus, a soundtrack for this movie a new album. Who knows, man? We're always just doing whatever we can to entertain you, the fan out there, the informed music listener. Oh, I got a kick out of the old Wall Street Journal. Wall Street Journal shows up at Phil's house, man. Every weekday, I always ask how many musicians in the Texas music world subscribe to the Wall Street Journal. That's a question worth answering. If you can, I would dare say not many, but who knows? You never know. You never know. Great article though about, we talked about this in, on a show one time about, you know, big rock stars doing the big corporate gig that they never talk about. And sure enough, man, they're staying on there. He showed up for, what was one of the big, not Microsoft, but one of those huge tech companies brought him in to talk about how he uses the products. And then he picked up his guitar and played. Oh man. So these guys do it all the time. They talked about how they had Aerosmith do one for like eBay or, and you know, stuff like that. They say it's a, you know, people in the company say it's kind of a good measure of the health of the company. Are they, did they get a big act in here? Oh, we had Sting for the Christmas party last year. Then if this year they're like, oh, we've got a cover band for $5,000. Then employees and stockholders are going to be like, dude, what's going on? Oh, something's amiss. Something's wrong. So it's kind of a sign of financial strength in a business to bring in that big act. Although they said that most entertainers, the big rock guys, have a lot of stuff in their contracts. Like, look, we'll do a 20-minute meet and greet. No more than 50 hands shaken in that period of time. Some of them are very rigorous about it. Some of them a lot more easygoing. But just had a list of guys like Elton John and people doing those kinds of events. And you know how their managers deal with it. And of course, they don't talk about it. They don't have pictures taken. But man, where else are you going to go make $1 million in 2 hours, Sting? I mean, you got to shake a few hands and play Roxanne on acoustic guitar. Give me a break. You think I wouldn't show up for that? I'm telling you, man. It's so hard to get paid out there. You know, in any business, forget music. But, I think the days of just guys selling out for stuff. Dude, if you're lucky enough when your phone rings, there's so many bands out there. It's just unbelievable. So if a company or some guy says, hey, Phil, do you want to do this? Do you want your song in this commercial? Do you want to play our Christmas party? Or do we call, I mean, they got a list of guys over there. Or do we call these guys? It's a tough decision to make. Surely in the 70s and 60s, when you had about five bands, whoever, Van Morrison or somebody could just tell them to go to hell, you know. But, that's not so in these days. So if that money flows your way, you gotta take it, you know, probably. I don't know. Debate amongst yourselves if that ruins your artistic integrity. I don't know. Rest assured, I have not had that option. But who knows? Maybe 2012, it'll all be different. Speaking of different, I'm thrilled. Is my excitement tangible? I hope it is. My old friend, the great drummer, Pete Coney, from Jack Ingram's Beat Up Ford Band, is out there lurking, making fresh coffee out in the galley here at the studio. He's going to be in here talking Christmas albums, what's going on in his world with Jack Ingram and the Beat Up Ford Band. It's great catching up with Pete, one of the real good guys in this business. The great Pete Coney will be in here next. Stay tuned. Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast from beautiful Trinidad World Recording Studios. Come here and record or book the full band for your next event. We love it, fans. Playing in your backyard, your club, some field, a festival. Bring it. Let us know where to be. Phil@philpritchett.com or give me a call. 817-733-5256. We are thrilled, you understand, to have our guest with us here today. He was on the podcast, made his podcast debut, I don't know, a year and a half ago. The drummer for Jack Ingram's Beat Up Ford Band. He has played in my band several shows, just picking up gigs left and right. Everyone's played a gig with him at some point. Oh, I don't know how old he is, but he looks 24. Looks like he's, man, just still rocking the clothes. He taught me how to dress, taught me how to act, how to be a musician. I learned it from this guy. Pete Coatney is here once again on the podcast. It's just a thrill to have him in today. Thanks for coming by, Peter.
Well, it's always nice to be here with you.
Well, we were talking, man, 'tis the season, right? 'Tis the season for music.
That's
right.
I know
Pete is a music enthusiast, music historian, collector of what? Instruments, records, vinyl.
Oh, yes.
All kinds.
All kinds.
You own guitars, too. Organs. You own kinds of crazy stuff.
Lots of guitars, yep. Lots of guitars, an organ, a piano. Tons of keyboards.
Yeah. Man, I...
too many drums.
Too many drums. Some of which are here in the corner. Yeah. You take any of these with you today?
Not today.
You hear that? If you need to cut a record, get over here soon. You can have your drum tracks cut on those Slingerlands over there.
That's right.
Great sounding kit. Man, one of the interesting things that happened, I had a great extensive vinyl collection. Only had one Christmas album. So for many years now, we've had the classic Elvis Christmas album.
Oh, yeah.
The Elvis Christmas album.
Yes, yeah, a classic.
Now, I wasn't going to go out and purchase a bunch of Christmas CDs. You know, it's just kind of like, I don't feel... You listen to them a little bit. So I've been raving about Spotify. It's been a real eye-opener to me. We have Spotify in the house. So, man, you go on there. You got, I mean, every Christmas record in the world was listening to everything from Elvis to all kinds of crazy stuff. And, boy, you come across some very odd things, Christmas records, some good, some not so good. You claim that you do have actual vinyl records. You have a Christmas collection.
I've got a large collection of Christmas vinyl.
What are some that you listen to, that you enjoy listening to? You got the old classics like Bing Crosby and stuff?
I've got two copies of that Bing Crosby, the classic.
I'm dreaming.
That's right.
His is White Christmas. He is the definitive version of that.
Absolutely.
That Bing Crosby.
Yep. I've got
Johnny Mathis.
I've got Johnny Mathis. I've got Nat King Cole.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Of course.
Well, of course, they've all done them.
Yeah.
I guess what's interesting to me is how some of them break through, and you know, you hear some guy singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or Frosty the Snowman. You're kind of like, oh, this is some, you know, John Bon Jovi or something.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh gosh. But then the old version, like the Burl Ives singing. It's just, I mean, this is the definitive version. This is what I've heard in elevators my whole life, or wherever you've been, you know. It's interesting how those guys, those definitive recordings just get matched to a certain voice or something. It's just...
That's exactly right. It becomes an identity, you know. It's Burl Ives is a Christmas icon.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
From Holly Jolly Christmas. You know, I mean...
Was he Frosty? Or what was the other big one he did? Yeah, Frosty. Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, he was the voice of... I guess he did the voiceover on those old...
Tell me when it's over. Yeah, the claymation puppet Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I've tried to get my kids
Rudolph
interested
the
in those.
Reindeer.
They play the old Santa Claus coming to town, Rudolph. My kids are all creeped out by it. They kind of like it, but they kind of don't. They love the Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
I get all excited. You know, oh, look what's on. Oh, my gosh. Remember, it was a big deal when the ABC special. You know, it spins around. How the Grinch Stole Christmas would come on. It was a big deal. I mean, you couldn't just go see it anywhere. When you're a little kid, you're like, wow, the Christmas specials are on. It's a big deal.
Vince Guaraldi Trio, you know, speaking of classic Christmas songs.
I've heard that a lot on the radio lately as a Christmas. I don't think of that as Christmas. It's just kind of the Charlie Brown theme. But is it more the Christmas?
Well, the Christmas music from that special, that stuff is outstanding.
Christmas
that whole
time.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. God, that's cool, man. But those old Christmas specials certainly were cool. Now my kids are watching Disney, the Christmas episode of some Disney show, some lame thing. You know, so they don't get too excited about the old Santa Claus coming to town, puppets, you know, walking around, the abominable snowman, the dentist pulling out the teeth of the...
Right.
But, you know, they're not too interested in that. You know who's got a lot of Christmas albums that kind of freaked me out? Was James Brown. You mean James Brown Christmas albums?
I've got him on a compilation. I've got James Brown doing a Christmas song on a compilation.
A couple of shots of him in a full Santa Claus outfit. Just James Brown. Because I was looking through there. I was like, man, look, he's made four or five of these.
That's
from
crazy.
Different eras, you know?
Probably. And some of that is repackaged collections, too.
Yeah, they just bottle them up every
couple
of years.
I've got two Christmas albums by Elvis that have different covers and basically the same songs.
Right.
I've got two or three cassettes.
Did he do a whole lot of Christmas records? Because I just had that one, and then I looked for stuff online, and it's those same versions of the song. Did he only do a few, or has he sent anything?
I think he had a couple of Christmas records that were repackaged two or three times, and they would put different songs on them, just a couple of different songs, and most of them were the same. One of the cassettes that I have, it's got several gospel songs on it, not just Christmas songs, but
right.
gospel songs. And he did actually, I think he did like three gospel albums that were just gospel albums. Uh-huh. But he had at least two Christmas albums, maybe more, but they were repackaged, and I think I've seen three versions of, you know, covers.
Yeah. The biggest reaction that my kids got out of the Elvis deal, we all just busted out laughing, was his Winter Wonderland version.
Yeah.
Very straight-laced, just, you know, just walking in a winter wonderland, sleigh bells ring. Then the end, walking in a winter wonderland, long pause. I said I'm walking in a winter wonderland. Just the big blues ending.
Yeah.
Oh, man, my kids were just like, what is that? I was just laughing. I was Elvis, man. Elvis Christmas. And they got a kick out of that. It was just the big build up on the drums at the end, you know.
I love the sound of those records.
Great.
Those records just sound great.
Oh yeah. Oh Come All Ye Faithful, he did on that it's beautiful. He could really sing, man.
Great voice.
Great
range.
Jeez, he really does, man. I mean, he's a, you know, people forget what a great singer he was. And you know, the voice never really left him. He was singing great. Up until he died.
Well, yeah, he was only 42.
Well, yeah, wasn't that old, I guess.
Yeah. I've already surpassed Elvis.
That's right. Well, congratulations. I'm right behind you. Almost there. What makes you know what? I love those old, kind of where I draw the line a lot is, I like the Bing Crosby but I like the religious themed old stuff.
Yeah.
That you like singing church. I guess just growing up as a kid, those are the songs you're most familiar with.
Right, right.
I'm not as into Jingle Bells and, Rudolph the Red-Nosed. I don't consider those like Christmas songs. There's some cool versions out there, but I like the...
Oh, Come All Ye Faithful.
Come on, you know, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Oh, Little Town of Bethlehem.
Little Drummer Boy.
Oh, Come Emmanuel.
Yeah, that stuff's there. What's your favorite Christmas carol? Is it Pete, you got to hear one. What song just soars? What's your favorite one? Do you have a favorite one or two?
Yeah, I've thought about that recently. Let's see.
So I was looking at all these things online, Spotify. I was trying, man, what's my favorite ones? All do this and that. You know?
I think it would be between O Holy Night and O Come Emmanuel.
Yeah.
I like the kind of...
Oh, Holy Night.
Yeah.
Celine Dion's version.
Well, yes, of course. You know, yeah, she nails it.
Just knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. I really like the changes in that.
Yeah.
Then I like O Come Emmanuel. It's in that, it's kind of has that dark E minor sort of.
Right, right.
Feel. And
I like that.
Hold on,
this is kind of, you can't hear it.
There you go.
I played on an Austin TV show we had to do. They were having bands come in.
Yeah.
To do, and we did a, me and a guitar player, we kind of did an REM minor chord, just did a, we three kings of Orient song, bearing gifts we traveled afar, east and west and in the night and following under star. Star of wonder, star of light, star of royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Christmas record, you and me.
Oh boy.
Then we'll go back. We'll put your drum tracks on there. Boy, that is a treat right there.
Look for it
next
year.
Email your friends.
Look for it next year.
Phil and Pete doing We Three Kings. That's another... favorite of mine, man.
Yeah, I had forgotten about that.
That's a cool one.
That's a good one.
Also love, of course, Silent Night is still, that's a great one.
That's a beautiful.
That's just a classic, you know, of course. But Yeah, you ever seen the what show was that on? Was it Bing Crosby, David Bowie, Little Drummer Boy? That's a famous duet. They record that? It's on a record, isn't it?
I'm not sure. I would imagine it is somewhere, but I remember it was on a special and they just recorded it. Special. That's a beauty.
It was kind of weird.
Yeah.
That them two together. It was like kind of a, what was that, like mid-70s or something?
A genre mashup is what we'd call that.
That's right. Bringing in the younger audience with Bowie on there.
I mean, that was when Bowie was totally into his Ziggy Stardust stuff.
And he came out and with Bing, and they both had on their kind of Mr. Rogers sweaters, standing around a piano.
Wow.
Sipping some brandy and just... Bum, bum. Oh, what else, man? Who else did some bizarre... I was looking online for weirdest Christmas records. Man, a couple years ago, the Bob Dylan Christmas album raised many, many eyebrows.
Oh, yeah.
Took a lot of people were very confused by that deal. I didn't hear it. I wanted to... Have you heard it?
I haven't. I would love to. I'm in.
I don't think it was classic Christmas songs. I think it was songs, contemporary stuff other people had done that he just kind of picked up on.
There's a band called the Lost Dogs that did an interesting Christmas album.
Where are they from? I haven't heard of them.
Yeah, they're kind of spread out. They're just they're sort of a conglomeration of guys from other bands, mm-hmm. but really, really interesting and fun little Christmas record. And then there's a guy named Larry Norman who has a song called Christmas Time that is.
And we looked up Larry Norman on Spotify before the show today. I'd never heard of him. He was he a Christian rock kind of dude?
Yeah. He was probably. I mean, if you're going to say something about Bob Dylan, he's probably the Bob Dylan of Christian rock.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
was he big in the 70s?
The 60s and 70s mostly. And, you know, he was with a band called.
And it was some rock. It sounded like Exile on Main Street.
Kind of. I mean, it's really rock.
And real, Wurlitzer and Rhodes pianos just gurgling along underneath. Yeah. That was some cool sounding stuff. So he did some Christmas or religious themed music.
Yeah, man. And that song, Christmas Time, it's a killer.
Man, I always loved it. We were talking about other Christmas songs that aren't Christmas carols. Yeah, man, the song Christmas off the album Tommy by The Who, kind of an overlooked. It's kind of buried on that.
Very overlooked.
A little bit, but.
Did you ever see the faces of the children? They get so excited.
Maybe we could come up with like four or five and go back here and cut them.
That would be fun.
You know?
There's a
who
song.
Could we recruit for that? Is it you and me, or do we keep it between ourselves, or do we bring people in?
I don't think we need anybody else.
Yeah, we just do our parts and maybe we could track it. I'll just grab a guitar, a vocal. You play drums.
Yeah.
And we'll lay over a bass and sing it, and that'll be it.
That's all we need.
Christmas with Phil and Pete. Now, would you want to go contemporary, or you go? You can do Oh Holy Night? What do you want to do?
I think we're going to have to. We'll talk about this off mic, because we're going to have to leave the folks with some expectation
some
and some
for next year's Christmas record.
Anxiety about what's coming.
I just don't like the. To me, and this is. I goes back to my. I just rocking around the Christmas tree. It's just. Winter Wonderland. I'm just not as big on that. That sort of 50s Mr. Rogers sweater brandy by the tree. Just that kind of Christmas music.
I have to say I like it. I dig into it.
Yeah, I
do. But it certainly doesn't move me the way the more contemplative and
I like the ones
meaningful
just, where I'm envisioning like some shepherd in a sandstorm just trying to get to the star. What I mean? Like,
yeah.
I like my Christmas songs to invoke struggle, to invoke mystery. I don't know. Maybe a lot of people aren't like that.
No, I like it. I like that too.
You know what I'm saying?
I like that.
I like that feeling of the baby being born in the straw, just it's cold and they're wrapping it up.
Damp and dank.
Yeah.
And probably smelly.
But here's this song that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's just soaring melody and just amazing changes and
the majesty of it.
Yes, that's what gives it the real. It's like listening to a great rock record like this, mournful, but it's beautiful. And the poppier stuff, you know, the chestnuts roasting on open fire, it's just kind
of... You like the solemnity.
I mean, it's okay, but...
The solemnity and the holiness of
yes,
Christmas.
Yes, I think so. Of course, you know, I'm a
You're showing your Catholic roots there.
I know. Man. What, the pain and suffering part of it? That's right. Just the struggle associated with the whole thing. The bearing of children, yes. Yes, I am, indeed.
Yeah, ask your wife about that one.
Yeah, our Christmas record, yeah, we would make a dark, beautiful, yet rocking record.
Yes.
Yeah, sort of like Dark Side of the Moon, but Christmas music. Maybe some organ stuff in there.
I could go with that.
You know what I mean? Something like that.
We've got our work cut out for us.
Man, you know, I told you about the... I'd kind of approach this like we did, you know. Fans can now go to iTunes, of course, and get the new REM EP, 5 songs I did with Rodney Parker. That's kind of how he and my thing started. We were on the podcast, Parker. So, man, you don't hear a lot about REM in the Texas music world. I said, man, I got some old records. And we started talking. I said, maybe I'll do 5 songs. We did it. It's out there. Go get it. So maybe it was our deal could kind of start like this. But it's tough because we went through REM's catalog, and you start, you know, it's kind of the producer in me. You start immediately seeing that that's not going to work. We can't sing that. That's too weird. That's too high. Man, this one would be cool. This one would work. I can see what Rodney would be doing, and then I could do this part in the bridge, you know, maybe drop it down a key, and we'd have something. Stuff like that starts occurring to me as I'm looking through it. So it'd be interesting to go through Christmas songs and think, well, man, Pete's going to be doing some drums, some backing vocals. You're singing a little harmony there. You sing?
No.
You sing pretty well, kind of, but, you know, we'll have to put you on there. You have to sing on something.
Well, you know.
You know, Oh Holy Night. You and Celine. You just passed the audition. But, you know, we'd have to. It'd be tough to go through those old songs and say, now, could we really pull off, you know, Silent Night or something like that? That'd be tough.
Well, we will see, and we will leave it as a mystery.
We will leave it as a mystery. Well, we got a little while to work on it.
That's right.
But we don't want Christmas to sneak up on us again next year and just think, gosh, man, what happened to the year?
No kidding.
What else you got, man?
Well, I hope that people enjoy some of these crazy Christmas tracks we've been talking about.
Crazy Christmas tracks. Well, man, go get them. Check out Spotify. There's so much great stuff out there. Well, man, that's been a little Christmas album talk. What makes a good Christmas record, you know, and kind of what we have, weird and otherwise. And who knows, man, maybe next year, by the time the season rolls around, maybe me and Pete will have done a little Christmas music. For you, the fan, that would be great, wouldn't it? Come up with, you know, a few little handful.
Outstanding.
That'd be great, man. We'll look forward to that. Thanks to Pete Coatney, drummer for Jack Ingram's band, and so much else. So much more. Thanks for coming by, my friend.
It's always a pleasure.
Good to see you again.
Always a pleasure.
Well, with any luck, Pete will be joining us very, very soon to opine on all things music and life and everything else Texas music. That's all the time we have here today, folks. Be good to each other out there. Download that Pritchett Rodney Parker EP on iTunes, the REM tribute. People really seem to dig it. Amaze your friends. Check it out.
Keep the cards and letters
coming. Keep the cards and letters coming.
Especially
your
with
emails
money.
Read with so much joy by all of us here at the P2 Podcast. And thank you so much to all of you who've donated. Hit the donation button on P2Podcast.com and sent a few bucks. Some of you sent considerably more than that. You shouldn't have, but it's very, very appreciated. Thank you very much. Feel free to donate. The podcast is commercial free. The podcast is supported by you, the fans. And thanks so much for being a part of it. We'll see you the same time next week. Be good to each other out there. Much love.